Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a meeting of the title setting board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The time is 2:04 p.m. The date is April 15th, 2009. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The title setting board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State here on behalf of Secretary of State Bernie Buescher. To my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. To my immediate left is Sharon Eubanks, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my far left is Maury Kneiser, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the title board. And to my far right is Ceci Gomez of the Secretary of State's office. We are broadcasting over the internet and we are recording. Anyone who wishes to testify, please sign up on the sign-up sheets. And when you testify, please identify yourself and who you represent. And with that, we're here just, we have just one agenda item today, a motion for rehearing on 2009-2010 number 11 concerning property taxes. And so let's hear from Mr. Schroeder on behalf of the motion for rehearing. Mr. Schroeder, if you'll come forward, identify yourself for the record, and tell us your objections to the titles that we set last time.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. I am Lou Schroeder, proponent. And we are here today, as you said, to have a rehearing on the title setting. And I want to, you know, all coins have two sides, and I want to thank you because we're down to 156 words. I was disappointed to see that none of you walked in with a pair of scissors in your hand, however. And I would like to, again, if I could, ask and thank you for being careful last time to speak directly into the microphone. It was the material was much easier to work with and much more useful. And we have carefully intended to identify each concern and address your desires, at the same time try to get down to as few words as we can. And we have the proposal in front of you, which I passed out, which is only 71 words. And it's not three words like I would like, but it's certainly, in my mind, an improvement. So, but before we get into that, I'd like to clarify the one question that I answered for you last time, Mr. Hobbs, when we talked about what it covered in only real property. It, when you listen to the recording, it, I think I could have been much more specific than I was. And I was referring at that time only to the first sentence of paren B, end paren. And the top, which was the topic at hand. The rest of the petition, I want to make it very clear, covers both real and personal property, because there's no other stated distinctions. But I'm sorry if I wasn't as clear as I should have been.
Now, and thank you. And at some point, I don't mean, perhaps I shouldn't interrupt you. I just am curious if that would mean we should change anything in the titles that we set last time.
Thank you. We're getting into the proposed changes then. As we are up here in line one, I am saying save those three, we can save three words by saying a constitutional amendment instead of saying an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. I don't think anybody that steps into a voting booth has an idea they registered to vote in Utah, Florida, or New York. I'm sure that everybody knows that they, and most of them are producing a Colorado license or driver's license when they go into the voting booth. So I think that that would be worthy of taking out.
Do you want us, or why don't you just go ahead and we'll come back?
I'll go right through it then. Sure, okay. Thanks. Okay. then I would like to suggest that you consider use the word regarding, because I believe that the concern is a negative concept, and it me and when it says this is concerning to me means that there's a problem or a situation that is not good, not as good as it should be. Next, and in connection therewith, and I, without denigrating lawyers, I would say please just use the word which is not legalese, and I believe says exactly the same thing. Then we say consolidate the two clauses that cover the property tax petitions and elections, so that you only have one rather than the two clauses. Everybody caught that? Okay, thank you. Then I say also consolidate the two clauses that cover government entities and property taxes. If you insist on two clauses, condense taxes but offsetting the revenues with lower tax rates to instead read, quote, taxes, comma, offset by lower rates, end quote, and condense, quote, fees or taxes on property, end quote, to instead read, quote, property charges, end quote, to match the opening subject description, just for the, it, you gain consistency there, as well as save words. Next, I'd like to suggest shorten the clause to, quote, set property tax expiration dates, end quote. You absolutely demand more words. At least, please delete the false word, quote, voter approved, end quote, because the petition also covers detabering and other actions by government done without elections. Some governments ignored the property tax revenue limit in setting levies or asked for a 7B fiscal year spending waiver, but not a 7C property tax revenue waiver. See, then delete, quote, prior and future, end quote, because all prior tax rate increases do not expire. The text says, quote, future, end quote, tax rate increases expire in 10 years. Some prior revenue increases do not expire. If from properly voter-approved rate increases or from the CPI plus local growth taper allows. So why not choose our true statement instead? Okay. On school taxes, you used 15 words and we used 13. Change to, quote, requires, end quote, and, quote, replaces, end quote, because there's no value to voters to distinguish rates and revenue in the title, because it's all taxes to them. The rate is just the mechanism to reduce the revenue. Now, Mr. Domenico says that he got lost in the board wording of the three numbered subcategories. That shows that it must be changed. The last two clauses use 63 words to summarize 77 words of text. That's not what the law requires. You mentioned property tax, quote unquote, three times in the first clause. And I call that double redundancy. At the very least, you should say, quote, eliminates property taxes, end quote, once before the paren one and paren change two, read instead, quote, paren one and paren violating state laws, paren two and paren exceeding dollar amounts in ballot titles, or paren three, increased or extended without certain ballot titles, end quote. Note the word quote or end quote before the three. A reduction occurs in any one of the three instances. All three at once are not required. Okay. Instead of state law, policies or limits existing in 1992, use, quote, certain state limits, end quote. Votes won't be swayed by whether it is a law, policy, or other limit when existing. Using, quote, certain, end quote, denotes that the measure itself specifies the details. Okay, then the words included in can be shortened to simply in. And the word and can be deleted, and the word question made titles to conform to this petition text, Tabor and Common Usage. Using quote approved end quote is redundant, since defeated ballot issues are irrelevant and change nothing. Thus, quote, exceeding the dollar amount in ballot titles, end quote. Then, item paren 3 and paren can merge with paren 2 and paren. Both cover amounts exceeding tax increase ballot titles required by Tabor. If there was no paren 3 and paren C and paren ballot title, then any amount will exceed the amount required to be, but not stated. The paren 3 and paren phrase, quote, approved by voters, end quote, is redundant, as shown in item 10, the one immediately above. The, quote, certain ballot language, end quote, in paren 3 and paren is the same as, quote, ballot titles, end quote, in paren 2 and paren. So why vary the phrase? Why repeat it? I'd like to say that I think the last clause is total padding, since it repeats the detailed description of the limits and their changes already mentioned in the prior clause. It uses 19 words to, quote, summarize, end quote, 10 words in the text. Though the petition is self-executing, this sentence is a directive of interest only to the state legislature, not to Joe Citizen, who would not recognize those statutes. Our proposed ballot title gives the public adequate notice by saying, and I quote, certain state limits restored by this measure, end quote, which discloses that those violated limits are put back in effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Questions for Mr. Schroeder?
Yes.
Start with several. And I'm trying to digest. You know, you've given us about four pages of material here,
it's
and
big mouthful, sure
going
is.
Through it pretty quick. And there's plenty here to chew on, I think. One of the last things you mentioned, I wanted to understand a little better. Item number 12, where we in the title say that we're restoring state tax laws, policies, and limits that have been violated, changed, or weakened. And I think you're saying that's padding. It's a separate provision, and it sounds like you're saying it doesn't really add anything to the measure. It's a separate provision in the text, but you're saying it doesn't really add anything. That once you've said that you is your argument that once you've said that you're expiring these taxes exceeding state laws, policies, or limits, that it's redundant to say that those laws, policies, and limits are restored?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just to be clear, the measure itself is redundant, and that's why the title is redundant. Well, you're clarifying. I can see you're reinforcing something in the measure. I don't mean to make it sound like it's merely redundant. I think you're, in the measure, the text is trying to ensure the result of restoration, whereas you're saying in the titles, we don't necessarily have to say that.
I see no gain for saying it twice there. That's correct. Okay.
And another area that I kind of wanted to understand a little bit better has to do with the prior and future question. We say in the titles that we set last time, setting expiration dates for prior and future voter approved tax rate and revenue increases. And the measure, and I'm wondering if we have glommed together two different things, and that might be part of what's going on here, that the measure says that future property tax rate increases shall expire within 10 years.
Yes.
Not prior, but that prior actions to keep excess revenue are expired, and future actions, and I assume that's future actions to keep excess revenue are considered tax increases expiring in 4 years.
Okay, now let me see.
So where I'm going with that is that future tax rate increases are what expire in 10 years, not previous.
Correct.
But prior revenue, prior and future revenue increases, prior revenue increases expire immediately. Future revenue increases expire within 4 years.
That's right.
Okay. So would it be better in the titles, and we're trying to be brief here, I think, but would it be better to separate those two concepts instead of saying setting expiration dates for prior and future tax rate increases and revenue increases, if we separated that, say something like setting expiration dates for number one, future voter-approved property tax rate increases, and number two, prior and future revenue increases. I don't mean necessarily number them one and two, but I'm trying to say there's two different things that are set to expire here.
Right.
And the first one being future tax rate increases. And the second thing being prior and future revenue increases.
Okay.
And the way we've written it makes it look like it's prior and future for both things, both the tax rate increases and the revenue increases. Is that what you're saying?
It is, and I'm trying to think. I see where you're going, and I'm trying to think which is more clear to the guy that walks into the voting booth, and I think you're thinking the same thing.
I mean, and just to sort of repeat while you're thinking about it, one approach to it would be to say something like, setting expiration dates for future voter-approved property tax rate increases and for prior and future revenue increases.
And that is accurate.
More accurate than what we've got right now, which makes it look like, among other things, that we're setting expiration dates for prior property tax rate increases, which is not accurate.
I think it is accurate, though.
Okay.
Because I can't tell. Maybe not.
Yeah.
It says future actions are tax increases expiring within 4 years.
Does that only apply
to revenue actions, or does it apply to taxes. I guess there's a semicolon there, so maybe you're right. Maybe that should only be read to apply to the revenue. And so any... I guess that's the question. If this were to pass, would it be read so that if there's a vote to increase a property tax rate, that would last forever? Or would it expire after some period?
It expires after 10 years.
So a past property tax rate increase, though.
Which line are you on?
I'm not sure there is a line, and maybe that's the answer.
Oh, okay.
Existing or prior tax rate increases that have happened before this passes, do those expire, assuming that they comply with the statute, with the ballot title?
Yes.
Requirement? How do they... What causes those pre-existing tax rate votes to expire?
The tax rate votes or the tax rate increases?
Well, the increase that the vote approved.
Yeah, that's in the text that they they're expired in 2011.
Can you point me to where that is? I don't deny it. I'm just trying to make sure I see it.
Okay. You're not looking at the amendment, are you?
I'm looking at the proposed measure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There. Yeah.
And so what I see is future property tax rate increases expire within 10 years.
Yeah. And
prior actions to keep excess revenue are expired. Future actions are tax increases expiring within 4 years, but I think I read that as applying only to future actions to keep excess revenue.
And that is correct. I'm sorry.
Okay. So an existing tax rate change that was properly approved won't expire.
No.
I see. Okay. So you're right, Mr. Hobbs. Now, I'm not sure we need to go into more detail or even as much detail as we have, rather than just maybe saying setting expiration dates for a certain property tax rate and revenue increases would, I think, get across what's important. About the potential misstatement that's in there.
So just eliminate the prior or future, just its expiration dates for certain rate and revenue increases, basically.
Yeah, something like that I think would work and is closer to the current proposal, but includes the revenue concept, which is probably important.
I suspect Mr. Schroeder might like that because it's a little briefer than what I was talking about. And less complex.
For both reasons. Length and the KISS principle, yes.
And I don't know that I necessarily want to address it right now unless
the board wants to. However you want to...
Well, we could go ahead. I mean, I don't know, unless there's... I mean, if there were other objections to that clause, but I think this was the main thing that I was focusing on, was the prior and future question. And so maybe I'll go ahead and suggest something along the lines of what Mr. Domenico was describing in line 6, which I think would be something like setting expiration dates for... And I think we need certain, I hate to use that word, but for certain, we would delete prior and future and insert certain. And I don't know that we need voter approved, so we could just strike voter approved. And I don't know whether we need property tax or not, but it would be property tax rate and revenue increases. So I think the rest of it would be okay unless we want to get rid of property tax or property. And I think this is all property tax, right, Mr. Schroeder?
Yes, but again, first of all, I see what four words gone. Thank you. We're counting. And you know, the line 1 and 2 talks about government charges on property. We know that's what we're talking about. So I think you could again delete the word property without changing the meaning there in line 6. Go one more word.
How's what I add? Deleting property, but leaving tax rate and revenue increases.
I'm sorry, Mr. Domenico, strike tax as well.
No, strike property.
Property.
Leave the rest.
Is what I had written down.
Okay. Can I ask, and I don't think I have an objection to that, but Mr. Schroeder, going back to my question, you know, that you alluded to about whether the measure relates to personal property taxes as well as real estate.
Yes.
I don't think it relates to this, but is there anything in the titles that we drafted that would change because of your answer today to that question?
No, I think not. I thought about that when I wrote the clarification for you.
Okay, I mean, it's to the extent that we're referring to property tax rate, it's still both, with one exception, it's both personal property and real property.
That's correct.
Okay. So... In that respect, I think it makes sense to strike the word property as well in line 6. So then that clause would read setting expiration dates for certain tax rate and revenue increases. I guess I'll go ahead and move that change.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Other questions, comments? Suggestions?
Just starting from the beginning, I think we do need to leave Colorado in there, even though we know which state we're in. There are two constitutions that govern Colorado, both ours and the national constitution, which can be amended and would require a vote. So I suggest we leave that in there. I don't have a preference one way or the other between concerning and regarding. I think they're synonyms essentially in this context. I'm always happy to hear suggestions about in connection therewith, and I think the suggested format would comply with the requirement that the title first state the single subject and then lay out the details, but I'm not going to fight too hard on that. So,
one comment, and I know I always speak maybe from the traditionalist point of view, but I think one thing that does influence me that I just want to mention is that I think we have a statute that does say that in setting titles, the title board will follow the rules that the General Assembly follows. There's a general statement. I don't remember the exact quote. And it makes me a little more cautious about changing this in that I think most bill titles do say concerning something, and if there are trailers, it'll say and in connection therewith, right or wrong. So that just makes me a little more cautious about doing that. Not that we'd be in violation necessarily, but I prefer to follow those conventions. Anyway.
As I say, I'm not...
Well, a third alternative would be the word about.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do feel that concerning has negative connotations. And I know that what Mr. Roberts just said is correct. I've read a lot of that, and that's...
I mean, and I suppose the objection arguably would fit with bill titles as well, but then your response might be, but those bill titles are not normally on the ballot for voters
to
read.
That's true.
Well, regarding concerning... I don't think there's necessarily a negative connotation, and if there is, doesn't the measure does in fact have a negative take on government charges on property? I'm not sure that whatever negative connotation there is would seem to be an accurate one. So I'm just saying that I don't think that it makes a difference to me. I'd be happy to change it, but I'm also happy to leave it. The more substantive suggestions, I like a lot of the proposals. When you talk about when we talk about the elections, I'm not sure I have a problem with the proposed simplification of the two clauses we have. I know the first clause we have is about allowing petitions in all districts for elections to lower property taxes. I just wonder, which I think is accurate, I just wonder if the suggested change to just providing property tax petition and election rules doesn't do enough to capture that same concept without getting too down into the details.
Ms. Eubanks?
I think, you know, right now the way the title is drafted, I mean, we don't give a lot of details on the property tax elections anyway. It's a pretty general statement. But I do think I'm a little uncomfortable with the suggested change, because I do think that the fact that this measure would allow petitions to lower property taxes is a major change, because currently my understanding is those types of petitions are not allowed. And so I'm afraid that what Mr. Schroeder has suggested in terms of the language change doesn't give enough notice about the significant change of allowing for property tax reductions through petitions. And so I'm a little uncomfortable going as general as he would suggest.
Well, and that was my reaction too. I feel like we just need to provide a little more information. It's about what the measure's doing as opposed to simply what it's about. And I think you've just shortened too much, in my opinion. But
I hear your concern.
Yeah, in other words, it just provides property tax petition and election rules, for example. I mean, this is sort of a general comment. It's just not telling the reader very much.
All right, well, if I won't offer anything on that. Do you both feel the same way about the discussion of payment and collection of property taxes by enterprises and authorities?
Ms. Eubanks?
Well, I think under the language, the suggested language, I don't know exactly what we're talking about. It could be, right now, what this phrase would cover would, as I understand it, would be eliminating the property tax exemption for the enterprises and authorities, and then prohibiting enterprises and unelected boards from levying fees or taxes on property. And so the proposed language doesn't really distinguish what the change in the law is. It's just a general reference. I mean, it could be anything regarding property charges by governments. And I just don't think that there's enough detail in letting the voters know exactly what is being changed. And so I'm much more comfortable with something, you know, whether it's as specific as we've gotten, but the proposed language could cover almost anything regarding property taxes or fees imposed on property without giving any details.
And that's really the same consideration I have, and it goes back to the previous one as well. It's to say that it's basically the measures about the payment and collection of property charges by governmental entities just doesn't tell the reader very much, it seems to me. I mean, I think these are kind of major features that we're trying to lump together that I think need to be detailed a little better. So that the voter knows what the measure is doing about those things.
Well, we've gone over the tax rate or taxes thing regarding school districts a couple times, and I think we settled on rates because of the idea that it's possible to reduce rates but increase taxes if property values go up enough. I think it's why we settled on rates. So I think I'm okay with the current version regarding school districts.
I'm open to dropping that last clause. It did seem like we're not really adding anything. I mean, based on what Mr. Schroeder stated earlier today, I'm not sure that really is necessary, because in the second to the last clause, we say we're eliminating these things. I don't know that we need to then say we're...
We're eliminating things that deviated from those pre-existing laws. They're the sort of the flip side of the same coin. And I think I sort of suggested last time getting rid of the 1, 2, 3 and going back to the something more general, leaving the last clause but getting rid of the rest. which I might still be open to, but I was voted down for a reason last time. Probably for the same reason that we've been discussing on these other proposals today, which is that it is more general and may not give quite the detail about how you're going to restore those laws, policies, and limits. I did find that eliminating clause confusing, but partly because I get lost in the measure itself, and so accurately reflecting the measure means I'm going to get lost in the title too, I think. If there's no inclination on the rest of the board's part to change that second to last clause, it's not worth anybody's time for me to try to work through it.
And remind me what would that be again?
Well, it would have been just something like the place I might start actually is getting rid of the eliminating clause and keeping the last clause about restoring state tax laws, policies, etc. You might need to add a little more detail. But
well, let's see, maybe I'm confused, but I think one problem I have with that, if I'm understanding it, is that the restoring language in the measure only relates to the first item in line 8.
Well, I think it at least also applies to the third, or at least it covers it, that if you get rid of any increase or extension since 92, you're restoring limits or the laws that were in existence then.
Thanks. We've struggled with this several times now, and I don't know that I have any great suggestions. I think uncomfortable somehow generically referring to the three changes that the proposal would make in that last portion of the measure, whether or not in terms of dropping the last phrase about the restoration of the laws, policies, and limits, I might be comfortable with that, or we might be able to actually use somewhat of what Mr. Schroeder has suggested in his language. Because I do believe the restoration applies only to the first item, which is in CI of the measure and is in the paren 1 of the title. Whether or not at the end of that phrase, after the paren 1, we say something which are restored by this measure. referring to the laws, policies, or limits existing in 1992. So maybe adding a little language there and dropping the longer phrase at the end. But in terms of having the itemized, the three things that are being affected by paragraph C, I think that there's the need to do that in terms of giving adequate notice, because I do think that those are major changes, especially where voters have actually approved something that they might be surprised to find that a property tax increase that they approved that now perhaps exceeds the dollar amount included in the ballot language, that portion is now invalidated or expired. And I don't think we can consolidate in terms of the references you got at the beginning of one, property taxes, up two, property taxes, and three, property tax rate. I don't think that you can consolidate that with one reference to property taxes, perhaps after the word eliminating, because I do think a property tax rate increase or extension is different than a reference just to property taxes. For the same reason that we had the earlier discussion about the difference, there is an important distinction between a property tax rate reduction doesn't necessarily mean a reduction in property tax revenues. So I don't know that there's much to do, at least in my mind. I do think that to be more specific is necessary to give adequate notice, but perhaps there might be some small tweaks we could do.
Well, what if we were to... let me ask this. Do the two sentences of C1 do anything different? I mean, I think I'm hearing that they don't. That's why we can get rid of the restoring language, because it's the same as the what's in C1. If they're essentially, and it seems correct to me, that if all you do is restore the laws, policies, and limits existing in 1992 that were changed or weakened without voter approval, you do the same thing as the first sentence. You've set them back by to those rates. So to me, I was wondering if, and I think this is what Ms. Eubanks was saying, what we might do is have a replace number one in the current title with a slightly revised version of that last clause, restoring state tax laws, policies, and limits that were existing in 1992 have been violated, changed, or weakened without state approval might be its own clause, and then the last clause would be something like eliminating property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included ballot question, and three, property tax rates increases. So essentially one, the current number one would become its own clause, and two and three could be combined into another clause. And I don't think if we did that, I think we could get rid of the numbering, and the grammar might work a little bit more easily, and it would save a handful of words.
Take a shot.
Okay. Well, so my suggestion then would be that you cut that last clause, starting with restoring, that starts on 11 all the way to the end, and I would cut that.
Delete it.
And I would paste it before eliminating on line 8. I would then delete everything to all the way up to where the current 2 is on line 10, all the way through 1992. Now, I wonder if after limits on that's now on line 8, we want to put existing in 1992 after limits.
So,
I think that's a good idea. Right, 1992. Then I would put a semicolon after approval that's now on line 9. And I think there would be an and there. And I was trying to figure out if there was actually a way to then say reducing property tax rate, reducing rates. But I think Ms. Eubanks is right. It's even though you are supposed to do this by reducing rates, I'm not sure you can write it that way, and it may just be best to go back to an eliminating property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, or rate increases or extension approved by voters without. Specified ballot language, and that would be the end of it.
So at the end of line 10, strike paren 2 and insert eliminating. Strike paren 3. There's a little more that needs to be done, but yeah. Remove the comma before the and. Ms. Eubanks?
In terms of the language on lines 8 and 9 about restoring the lost policies and limits, are we comfortable that that statement, it's sort of implicit that because the laws, policies, and limits are restored, that there's the reduction in the property taxes back within those limits?
I think that's accurate, and that's what I was trying to get at with whether those two sentences essentially do the same thing in the measure. I think they do. You know, if the first sentence of C, if the introduction to C somehow meant that you had to give back money that had been collected in excess of those or something, then that would be different. But just restoring them, I think by definition, restoring them means that you go back to how they were, which is how I read the first part of C1. Doesn't mean that you got to give back money you've collected.
That is the intent.
Yeah, that it just sets the rates back, which I think is captured by that language.
Would it be accurate, just because the measures in general dealing with government charges on property, and specifically paragraph C is dealing with property tax, would it be appropriate to say restoring state property tax laws, policies, and limits to make it clear that it's restoration of those limits versus any other types of limits?
Say that again, Ms. Eubanks.
That whether we say restoring state property tax laws, policies, and limits, because under the language of C small I, it's the whole thing's regarding property tax increases, extensions, and abatement levies after 1992 shall expire by lower rates, taxes exceeding, and so I assume that means we're talking those property tax increases, extension, and abatement levies mentioned in the introductory portion to C. And so whether just to get that concept across, or whether it's sufficient sort of with our general statement of the single subject, whether it's assumed that it's property tax, or whether just by inserting property there would make it clear that we're talking about property tax.
I think I prefer to have the word property inserted. I mean, I realize from Mr. Schroeder's point of view, it's all about property taxes. We've said that at the beginning. Why would anyone think this clause is about tax laws, policies, and limits?
You heard me correctly.
But there's just something about it. I don't want the reader to think, even though this is mostly about property taxes or charges on property, that it's all tax laws, policies, and limits. Yeah, I know it's redundant, but it strikes me as helpful. But
it's just there's so many other tax laws, policies, and limits out there.
And 92 is confusion. And maybe this is nonsense what I'm about to say, but 92 being Tabor, and this is in Tabor, maybe that's why it somehow makes me think that clause could be about more than just property taxes. It may be redundant, but I personally think it's a little safer.
I understand what you're saying, but I'd like to comment when you're ready to hear it.
You'd like to what?
I'd like to comment when you're ready to hear it.
Sure, go ahead.
But as you know, it is a very high priority for me to cut the number of words. Now, you may find this difficult, but I'm going to recommend adding a word. But it's only the first of several recommendations. I would recommend that you consider in line one inserting the word only between constitution and concerning. And then going down and in line three delete the word property twice. And in line four, eliminating it once. And then eliminating it at the end of line five before the word, before the semicolon, along with the word on. And then, let's see. Then in line seven, there's a word property also, but is another redundancy, as there is in the revised line 8. And and again in line 11, the word property could be eliminated. And 12, and then in, not on the word property, but in at the end of line 8, it could also end by reading end 1992 limits, deleting the words existing in.
I think I see why you're doing that, but I think if we were able to say in line one concerning property taxes, then it may be that we could eliminate some words later in the title, but we can't, and we, you know, we've talked about that before, because it may be about more than just property taxes. And I just kind of feel like we still need to keep saying property taxes where it applies. I mean, and just another technical thing, I mean, inserting the word only, I mean, it is, when we express the single subject concerning something, it is supposed to be only that subject.
That's why I put the word only in, was to just for emphasis.
Right.
Not because it was not already implicit.
So understand.
But
I mean, I'm not personally too crazy about that. Although another member might want to take that up, I think going back to line 8, restoring property tax laws, policies, and limits. Let me just raise a concern, and frankly, I probably will just defer to the proponents here, but I'm not sure that I think that's accurate, but I'm not sure the reader is as clear as a preceding version about the reduction in tax rates. I mean, you're not signaling something as crisp to the reader here. You know, whereas before we were eliminating property taxes. Now we're restoring laws, policies, and limits, and that's just not maybe going to be as powerful a statement as you like. I'm okay with it, although I think a variation on it, which may seem a little radical, would just be to insert a word, something like restoring state property tax laws, policy limits, and rates, or putting the word rate in there somewhere. And that's what's sort of missing in when you talk about restoring laws, policies, and limits.
Well, I see rates as a part of laws.
I agree. I know that's there. You change rates through laws, and if you're okay with the way it's worded, and you don't want to get that word rate in there, that's fine with me, because I believe this is accurate.
So you believe it is inaccurate?
I believe it is accurate.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I do too. Yeah.
But it does not signal the rate reduction, or the elimination of taxes themselves, as we had before. But again, I'm okay with it if you're okay with it, Mr. Schroeder.
Yeah.
So the proposal that's in front of us was those changes in, actually, lines 8 through 14. I think we haven't voted on any of that yet.
Yeah, and I was just trying to work through one other possibility, and this may be a little too messy. But what I was thinking was, as part, you could try to fit what's the current, the C3 concept into the what's there in 8 and 9 by just adding, so it says restoring state property tax laws, policies, and limits existing in 1992 that have been violated, changed, or weakened without state voter approval, or increased or extended without without certain ballot language, or without a without the ballot title required by, however we want to get across that Tabor language, which we have on which we've used certain ballot language. And then if you did that, you could change the reference to C2 by just saying reducing
property tax rates so taxes do not exceed the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, which is a little bit more accurate characterization of C2. Even though I, because it has to do with reducing the rate rather than eliminating property taxes completely, even though they, you get there the same, either way you get there.
Ms. Eubanks.
And if I'm understanding what you just suggested, I'm not sure that necessarily property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in a ballot question or a property tax rate increase or extension approved by voters without following certain ballot language necessarily means that those things violated laws, policies, or limits.
I think
the way you were, at least the way I understood what you suggested, is sort of grouping them all together.
Well, it was grouping one and three together, and the reason I did that was because one and three both restore old rates, return rates to some rate before something happened. And so that verb I thought we could use for both of those. And so what I was thinking was restoring state property tax revenues existing in 1992 that have been violated, changed, or weakened without state or approval, or that have been increased or extended without certain specified ballot language or something like that, and then a semicolon, and then you get to C2 and say, and reducing property tax rates so that taxes collected do not exceed the amount, the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question or something like that. So I still think there have to be at least two separate
clauses, but that was the
best I could come up with.
Ms. Eubanks?
And I think if we're going to have two clauses, I'm pretty comfortable with the two clauses we have, rather than sort of flipping and
yeah, the only reason I started going down that path was because the eliminating property taxes seemed to me there should be a way to phrase that in a way that captures the lower rates concept, and the only way I could see to do that was getting rid of decoupling C2 from C3, but I mean I don't have a real problem with it the way it is. It was just a potential way to shorten it a little bit without leaving anything out. It may not have succeeded.
I think I kind of like it the way it is, but I don't know.
So then the last
clause, it's a little bit complex, but maybe it's okay. It's eliminating property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question and property tax rate increases or extensions approved by voters without certain ballot language. Ms. Eubanks?
There a semicolon after question on line 12?
The comma is being stricken.
Oh, it's being stricken. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I didn't think there should be punctuation there, but
yeah. I mean that is where I'm troubled, because the two clauses that the and is joining are each pretty complex, and those two clauses are the kind of the object of the word eliminating. I'm just wondering if we get lost if the reader under, and I think you can figure it out, but there's, it's eliminating two things. And as long as that comes across, I'm okay with it.
I think the other option would be to go back to a 1 and a 2, to after eliminating, do a, insert a paren 1 property taxes, and then with right now the paren 3 is being stricken, you put in a paren 2, and you'd restore the punctuation after question.
Or just splitting them into two clauses.
Right, eliminating this and eliminating
that. I mean, I personally think that reads a little better, but it's adding an extra word, maybe two extra words, but again, it would basically be eliminating the and at the end of line 9, and then saying eliminating property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, semicolon, and eliminating property tax rate increases or extensions, etc.
I kind of like that. What if you change what's now says eliminating to reducing property taxes to the dollar amount, and then semicolon where you suggested, and eliminating property tax rate. Does the same thing, avoids using eliminating twice, and I think it's actually a little bit more accurate in that in the description of C2.
In terms of being a reduction, that concept of you're bringing it
gets
down
that
to
a
the
little bit
dollar amount.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't think it's any worse than eliminating, and it may be a little bit better. So that's what I would suggest, putting reducing property taxes to the dollar amount.
Mr. Schroeder, are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that part of it.
Okay.
I want to make another
plea
on property when you're ready.
So then,
eliminating.
Yeah, I would put and eliminating there, but I would also change exceeding just to the word 2 on line 11.
And at the beginning of line 12, after question, we do. Well, you've got semicolon, and then let's see, end of line 9, eliminate and. I'm okay with what we've got. Should we go ahead and, I know Mr. Schroeder has another suggestion, but I think it's unrelated to this, what we're doing right now.
That's correct. That's why I'll wait till you're ready.
So I'll go ahead and move those changes shown on the screen in lines 8 through 14.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Mr. Schroeder?
Thank you. Again, I would like to make a plea for fewer words, and of course the words that I'm talking about eliminating are property, and I would ask you to consider including a redundancy up in the beginning of it in the first few lines, and go into perhaps something along the lines of an amendment to the Colorado Constitution solely concerning government charges on property and nothing else, comma, in connection therewith. And then strike all the property words through the rest of the document that we went through and pinged.
I have basically the same problem with that I had with the word only. And it again relates to trying to follow a consistent, in part, trying to follow a consistent form in the way we set titles. As far as identifying it, the single subject by concerning something.
You know, I didn't even suggest that time that you eliminate concerning.
I appreciate that. Other suggested changes to the titles? And Ms. Gomez has shown how it would read. I think I'll go ahead and read it into the record while we're thinking about what we've done. Then as amended, the title would read, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning government charges on property, comma, and comma, in connection therewith, comma, allowing petitions in all districts for elections to lower property taxes, semicolon, specifying requirements for property tax elections, semicolon, requiring enterprises and authorities to pay property taxes but offsetting the revenues with lower tax rates, semicolon, prohibiting enterprises and unelected boards from levying fees or taxes on property, semicolon, setting expiration dates for certain tax rate and revenue increases, semicolon, requiring school districts to reduce property tax rates and replacing the revenue with state aid, semicolon, restoring state property tax laws, comma, policies, comma, and limits existing in 1992 that have been violated, comma, changed, comma, or weakened without state voter approval, semicolon, reducing property taxes to the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question, semicolon, and eliminating property tax rate increases or extensions approved by voters without certain ballot language, period. And then the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause that begins with what is now line 12. I'll go ahead and move those changes to the title. Well, I think we've adopted those. I guess I will move that the motion for rehearing be denied except to the extent that the board has made changes to the titles.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on number 11, and the time is 3:22 p.m., and that concludes our agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.